Medical Ministry, Section 16, The Worker's Health. We belong to God. Our bodies belong to God. He paid the price of redemption for the body as well as for the soul. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Creator watches over the human machinery, keeping it in motion. Were it not for His constant care, the pulse would not beat, the action of the heart would cease, the brain would no longer act its part. The brain is the organ and instrument of the mind, and controls the whole body. In order for the other parts of the system to be healthy, the brain must be healthy. And in order for the brain to be healthy, the blood must be pure. If, by correct habits of eating and drinking, the blood is kept pure, the brain will be properly nourished. It is the lack of harmonious action in the human organism that brings disease. The imagination may control the other parts of the body to their injury. All parts of the system must work harmoniously. The different parts of the body, especially those remote from the heart, should receive a free circulation of blood. The limbs act an important part and should receive proper attention. God is the great caretaker of the human machinery. In the care of our bodies, we must cooperate with Him. Love for God is essential for life and health. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with love and hope and joy. I wish to impress upon the minds of physicians the fact that they cannot do as they please with their thoughts and imaginations, and at the same time be safe in their calling. Satan is the destroyer. Christ is the restorer. I desire our physicians to fully comprehend this point. They may save souls from death by a right application of the knowledge they have gained, or they may work against the great master builder. They may cooperate with God, or they may counterwork His plans by failing to work harmoniously with Him. Habits of regularity important. All physicians should place themselves under the control of the great physician. Under His guidance, they will do as they should do. But the Lord will not work a miracle to save physicians who recklessly abuse His building. As far as possible, physicians should observe regularity in their habits of eating. They should take a proper amount of exercise. They should be determined to cooperate with the great master worker. God works, and man must come into line and work with Him, for He is the Savior of the body. Physicians, above all others, need to realize the relation human beings sustain to God in regard to the preservation of health and life. They need to study the Word of God diligently, lest they disregard the laws of health. There is no need for them to become weak and unbalanced. Under the guidance of the heavenly authority, they may advance in clear, straight lines, but they must give the most earnest heed to the laws of God. They should feel that they are the property of God, that they have been bought with a price, and that therefore they are to glorify Him in all things. Faithful guardians of their powers. Those who put their whole souls into the medical missionary work, who labor untiringly in peril, in privation, in watchings oft, in weariness and painfulness, are in danger of forgetting that they must be faithful guardians of their own mental and physical powers. They are not to allow themselves to be overtaxed, but they are filled with zeal and earnestness, and they sometimes move unadvisedly, putting themselves under too heavy a strain. Unless such workers make a change, the result will be that sickness will come upon them, and they will break down. While God's workers are to be filled with a noble enthusiasm and with a determination to follow the example of the divine worker, the great medical missionary, they are not to crowd too many things into the day's work. If they do, they will soon have to leave the work entirely, broken down because they have tried to carry too heavy a load. My brother, It is right for you to make the best use of the advantages given you of God in earnest efforts for the relief of suffering and for the saving of souls, but do not sacrifice your health. We have a calling as much higher than common, selfish interests as the heavens are higher than the earth. But this thought should not lead the willing, hard-working servants of God to carry all the burdens they can possibly bear without periods of rest. How grand it would be if, among all who were engaged in carrying out God's wonderful plan for the salvation of souls, there were no idlers. How much more would be accomplished if everyone would say, God holds me accountable to be wide awake and to let my efforts speak in favor of the truth I profess to believe. I am to be a practical worker, not a daydreamer. It is because there are so many daydreamers that true workers have to carry double burdens. Breaking under the strain. I hear of workers whose health is breaking down under the strain of the burdens they are bearing. This ought not to be. God desires us to remember that we are mortal. We are not to embrace too much in our work. We are not to keep ourselves under such a strain that our physical and mental powers shall be used threadbare. More workers are needed, that some of the burdens may be removed from some of those who are now so heavily loaded down. The Lord wants those who have gained an experience in His service to be educators. We are to be learners in the school of Christ, that we may teach others, and that we may plan wisely for the carrying forward of God's work. The physician to conserve strength. Some who have chosen the medical profession are too easily led away from the duties resting upon the physicians. Some, by misuse, enfeeble their powers, so that they cannot render to God perfect service. They place themselves where they cannot act with vigor, tact, and skill, and do not realize that by the disregard of physical laws, they bring upon themselves inefficiency, and thus they rob and dishonor God. Physicians should not allow their attention to be diverted from their work. Neither should they confine themselves so closely to professional work that health will be injured. In the fear of God, they should be wise in the use of the strength that God has given them. Never should they disregard the means that God has provided for the preservation of health. It is their duty to bring under the control of reason every power that God has given them. Of all men, the physician should, as far as possible, take regular hours for rest. This will give him power of endurance to bear the taxing burdens of his work. In his busy life, the physician will find that the searching of the Scriptures and earnest prayer will give vigor of mind and stability of character. Spiritual loss through over-fatigue. There are those who can successfully carry a certain amount of work, but who become overwearied, fractious, and impatient when there is crowded upon them a larger amount of work than they have physical or mental strength to perform. They lose the love of God out of the heart, and then they lose courage and faith, and the blessing of God is not with them. There are physicians who have lost their spiritual power because they have done double the work that they ought to have done. When men are asked or tempted to take more work than they can do, let them say firmly, I cannot consent to do this. I cannot safely do more than I am doing. The minister's duty to safeguard health. God not only desires His servants to have faith in the work of His institutions, He desires them to go further than this. They should realize that God wishes them to be living examples of what it means to be well, physically and spiritually. He wants them to show that the truth has accomplished a great work for them. Those who assemble in our conferences are not always in a fit state to judge righteously. Many suffer from congestion of the brain. Those who assemble in such meetings should first do all in their power to place themselves in right relation to God and to health. If the head is congested, let them find out what is wrong. The brain is disturbed because there is something the matter with the stomach. Let them find out what is wrong about their diet. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And if we fail to do all we can to place the body in the very best condition of health, we are robbing God of the honor due to Him from the beings He has created. If you are called upon to attend a council meeting, ask yourself whether your perceptive faculties are in a proper condition to weigh evidence. If you are not in a proper condition, if your brain is confused, you have no right to take part in the meeting. Are you fractious? Is your temper sweet and fragrant, or is it so disturbed and disagreeable that you will be led to make hasty decisions? Do you feel as though you would like to fight someone? Then do not go to the meeting, for if you go, you will surely dishonor God. Take an axe and chop wood, or engage in some physical exercise, until your spirit is mild and easy to be entreated. Just as surely as your stomach is creating a disturbance in your brain, your words will create a disturbance in the assembly. More trouble is caused by disturbed digestive organs than many realize. We ought always to eat the most simple food. Often, twice as much food as the system needs is eaten. Then nature has to work hard to get rid of the surplus. Treat your stomach properly, and it will do its best. Whether they acknowledge it or not, God lays upon all human beings the duty of taking care of the soul temple. The body is to be kept clean and pure. The soul is to be sanctified and ennobled. Then God says, "I will come unto him and take up my abode with him." We are responsible for our own salvation, and God holds us accountable for the influence we exert on those connected with us. We should stand in such a position, physically and spiritually, that we can recommend the religion of Christ. We are to dedicate our bodies to God. God desires His ministers to stand in a high and holy position. Those who open the Word of God to others should ask themselves, before they enter the pulpit, whether they have been self-denying, whether their food has been simple, such as the stomach can digest, without beclouding the brain. Please read the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. This entire chapter is a lesson for all believers. Strengthening the mental and moral powers. I am instructed to say to our ministers and to the presidents of our conferences, your usefulness as laborers for God in the work of recovering perishing souls depends much on your success in overcoming appetite. Overcome the desire to gratify appetite. And if you do this, your passions will be easily controlled. Then your mental and moral powers will be stronger. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In warm climates. In warm, heating climates, there should be given to the worker, in whatever line of work he is to do, less work than in a more bracing climate. The Lord remembers that we are but dust. The less sugar introduced into the food in its preparation, the less difficulty will be experienced because of the heat of the climate. Gardening and health. Let men and women work in field and orchard and garden. This will bring health and strength to nerve and muscle. Living indoors and cherishing invalidism is a very poor business. If those who are sick will give nerves and muscles and sinews proper exercise in the open air, their health will be renewed. The most astonishing ignorance prevails in regard to putting brain, bone, and muscle into active service. Every part of the human organism should be equally taxed. This is necessary for the harmonious development and action of every part. Many do not see the importance of having land to cultivate, and of raising fruit and vegetables that their tables may be supplied with these things. I am instructed to say to every family and every church, God will bless you when you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, fearing lest, by unwise treatment of the body, you will mar the Lord's plan for you. Many act as if health and disease were things entirely independent of their conduct and entirely outside their control. They do not reason from cause to effect and submit to feebleness and disease as a necessity. Violent attacks of sickness they believe to be special dispensations of providence or the result of some overruling mastering power, and they resort to drugs as a cure for the evil. but the drugs taken to cure the disease weaken the system. Regular exercise. If those who are sick would exercise their muscles daily, women as well as men, in outdoor work, using brain, bone, and muscle proportionately, weakness and languor would disappear. Health would take the place of disease, and strength the place of feebleness. Let those who are sick do all in their power by correct practice in eating, drinking, and dressing, and by taking judicious exercise to secure recovery of health. Let the patients who come to our sanitariums be taught to cooperate with God in seeking health. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. God made nerve and muscle in order that they might be used. It is the inaction of the human machinery that brings suffering and disease.